Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome, friend. Here we are together on February 6th, or as most people know it, National Give Kids a Smile Day. They say it's important to smile at kids, so much so that everyone's supposed to spend all day doing it. Sounds creepy as shit to me. I'd like to change that to National Keep Your Kid Locked Inside All Day Day. Well, what do you think, Chester? Yeah, well, your smile's pretty creepy too, pal. Might help if you flossed once in a while. Anyway, come on in, friend. We've got a special treat for y'all tonight. That's better. Hey, check out simplyscarypodcast.com and click the Patrons Area button. You can get the entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream for as little as $7.99 a month. And if you want a little smile out of me, check out patreon.com/DrewBlood. All right, smoke 'em if you've got 'em and drink those glasses to the bottom, y'all, because your old buddy Drew Blood's got a tell the tale. And tonight, we've got something a little special for you. Something I've been working on for a while now. It's a story based on the facts in the case of M. Valdemar by one of my favorite authors, the late, great Edgar Allan Poe. It's an homage of sorts, but also a modernized take on a tale which I find to be one of his very creepiest. Used to really creep me out when I was a kid. I guess you could call it a labor of love. If you decide to call it anything else, I just hope you'll be tactful. I do have feelings, you know. I know you do too, Chester. I'm only saying a little dental hygiene never hurt anybody. Oh yeah, one little caveat. Mr. Sturdivant joins me on this one. Old Jeff will be playing Dr. Bradford, and he really brings it on this one. Anyway, without further delay, from author Drew Blood, by way of the late, great Edgar Allan Poe, I give you The Valdemar Case. Dr. Andrew Bradford had been studying death for 7 years when Ernest Valdemar called his office. Not the aftermath of death, not grief counseling, not even the biological processes of dying, but the exact moment of transition itself. That hairline fracture between being and non-being.
"I understand you're looking for volunteers,"
Valdemar said. His voice carried the wet rattle of fluid and damaged lungs. Andrew straightened in his chair.
"I don't know where you heard that, Mr. Valdemar. My research is theoretical at this stage."
"Dr. Bradford, I'm dying. Tuberculosis, stage 4. The doctors give me 2 months, maybe 3. I've read your papers on consciousness retention during clinical death. All 6 of them."
He pulled up a blank document on his laptop.
"What exactly are you proposing?"
"I want you to put me under mesmerism as I die. I want you to document what happens to consciousness at the moment of death."
Andrew's finger hovered over the keyboard. In 7 years, he'd never had a subject volunteer for what he barely dared to design as an experiment. The ethics alone would tie him up in review boards for years. But Valdemar wasn't talking about seeking approval.
"That's illegal, Mr. Valdemar. That's assisted suicide in most interpretations.
I'm already dying. You wouldn't be assisting anything except observation. I have weeks, Dr. Bradford. Maybe less. I've been coughing up pieces of my lungs for 3 months. The pain management isn't working anymore. I'm going to die in a hospital bed, drowning in my own blood. Or I'm going to die contributing to human knowledge. I prefer the latter.
Andrew closed his laptop.
I'll need to meet you in person.
Ernest Valdemar lived in a rent-controlled apartment in the Bronx that smelled like industrial disinfectant and something organically foul. He answered the door in a bathrobe, his skeletal hands gripping the frame. The man looked 70, but his record said he was 43.
Come in, doctor. Excuse the smell. The disease has an odor. They don't tell you that in the pamphlets.
The apartment was surprisingly organized. Medical equipment lined one wall. Oxygen tanks, IV stands, monitoring devices. Books filled the shelves. Medical texts, philosophy, quantum mechanics, Victorian spiritualism.
You believe in an afterlife, Mr. Valdemar?
He lowered himself into a recliner with visible effort.
I don't know. That's the point, isn't it? Nobody knows. We have near-death experiences. We have religious texts. We have theories. But nobody's documented the actual moment with scientific rigor. Nobody's had a subject maintain consciousness through death.
Mesmerism is not scientifically accepted.
Hypnosis is. You've had success maintaining subjects in deep hypnotic states for extended periods. Your 2023 paper documented continuous hypnotic state for 48 hours.
That subject was healthy. The physiological strain of maintaining hypnotic state during system failure. We don't know what that would do.
To a dying man?
Valdemar smiled, showing teeth stained with blood.
Dr. Bradford, I'm past worrying about physiological strain.
He studied him. His eyes were clear despite the ravaged body. Whatever was eating him from the inside hadn't touched his mind yet.
I'd need to examine you. I'd need your complete medical records. I'd need to consult with your physicians.
No physicians. No records outside what I give you. This stays between us until it's over. Then you publish. You document everything. And you publish.
If I do this, I need to understand your motivation. This isn't just about contributing to science.
Valdemar looked toward the window. January sunlight cut through the blinds in thin strips.
My father died when I was 12. Heart attack. One moment he was yelling at me about homework. The next, he was on the floor. I did CPR until the ambulance came. 37 minutes. I watched his eyes the entire time. I watched whatever he was, just leave. I've spent 30 years wondering where it went. Andrew felt something shift in his chest.
And if there's nothing? If consciousness just stops?
Then at least we'll know. At least I'll know. For whatever fraction of a second remains before there's no me to know anything.
He opened his laptop.
Tell me about your symptoms.
Over the next 3 weeks, Andrew visited Voldemort's apartment 6 times. He brought equipment piece by piece. EEG monitors, heart rate sensors, respiration trackers, cameras. He set up a makeshift laboratory in his living room, running cables along the baseboards, calibrating instruments. Voldemort was declining faster than his doctors had predicted. The coughing fits lasted longer. The blood he expelled turned darker and thicker. His weight dropped another 12 pounds. The disease was accelerating.
We need to establish baseline readings,
Andrew said during his 4th visit.
I need you under hypnosis while you're still relatively stable.
He nodded from the recliner, oxygen tube running beneath his nose.
Do it.
Andrew had been practicing mesmerism for 6 years, ever since a workshop in Prague had convinced him that the old techniques had merit beyond their theatrical reputation. He preferred the term hypnotic induction, but the methodology was the same. Focused attention, progressive relaxation, heightened suggestibility.
Look at the pendant, Ernest. Just the pendant.
He swung the crystal on its chain, letting it catch the light. Voldemort's eyes tracked the movement. His breathing slowed.
You're feeling heavy. Your arms are heavy. Your legs are heavy. Your eyelids are heavy.
His eyes drifted closed.
But your mind is light. Your mind is clear. Your mind is separate from your body. Can you hear me, Ernest?
Yes.
His voice sounded flatter now, empty in a sense.
How do you feel?
Distant.
Andrew checked the monitors. His heart rate had dropped to 52 beats per minute. Brain activity showed the characteristic theta wave patterns of deep hypnosis. Perfect.
Ernest, I'm going to bring you back now. When you wake, you'll remember everything. You'll feel refreshed. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
His eyes opened. The change was immediate. The flat effect disappeared, replaced by normal consciousness.
That was remarkable. I could feel my body shutting down, but it didn't matter. The pain was still there, but it was happening to someone else.
Andrew made notes on his tablet.
That's the dissociative effect. It's why mesmerism was used for surgery before anesthesia. The pain doesn't disappear, but the emotional response to pain becomes manageable.
How long was I under?
17 minutes.
Voldemort coughed, the sound wet and deep. When he pulled the handkerchief away from his mouth, it was spotted with red.
We need to do this soon, Dr. Bradford. I can feel it accelerating.
He didn't argue. He could see it too. Dr. Peter Ashford arrived on the morning of January 15th. Andrew had brought him in as his medical consultant, sworn to secrecy. He was a hospice physician, comfortable with death. Comfortable with irregular situations.
Jesus, he said, checking Voldemort's vitals. His O2 saturation is at 78%. His lungs sound like a washing machine. How is he conscious?
Stubborn, Voldemort said.
Ashford looked at Andrew.
This is happening soon. Days, maybe hours. Are you ready?
Andrew surveyed the equipment. Everything was calibrated. Everything was recording. He had spent 3 sleepless nights reviewing the procedure, anticipating complications, preparing contingencies.
As ready as I'll ever be.
Then we wait, Voldemort said. I'll know when it's time.
The call came at 2:47 a.m. on January 17th.
It's starting.
His voice was barely audible over the phone.
Hemorrhage. I can feel it.
Andrew grabbed his equipment bag and ran. Ashford met him outside Voldemort's building, medical kit in hand. They took the stairs 3 at a time. Voldemort was still in the recliner, but the bathrobe was soaked with blood. It ran from his mouth in a steady stream, pooling in his lap. His eyes were wide and panicked.
Get him stabilized,
Andrew said, unpacking monitors. Ashford worked quickly. IV line, morphine, saline.
His blood pressure's dropping. We're losing him.
Ernest, can you hear me?
Andrew positioned himself in front of him, forcing eye contact.
Ernest, look at me. Only at me.
His eyes found his.
We're starting now. Do you understand? We're starting the process now.
He managed to nod. Andrew didn't have time for the pendant. He used his fingers, drawing his attention, pulling him down into a trance through sheer force of will and training.
You're going deep, Ernest. Deeper than before. Your body is failing, but your mind is separate. Your mind is clear. Your mind is observing. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The word came out distorted, choked with fluid, but recognizable.
Your heart is slowing. Your breathing is stopping. But you remain aware. You remain conscious. You remain present. You will stay in this state. You will not emerge from the state. You will maintain awareness through whatever comes next. Do you understand?
Yes.
Ashford stared at him.
Andrew, his vitals are crashing. Heart rate 40. 30. BP 60 over 40.
Ernest, describe what you're feeling.
Cold. Everything's cold. Can't feel my hands.
Stay with me. Keep talking. What else?
The pain's gone. That's nice.
Heart rate 20, Ashford said. 15. Andrew.
Ernest, stay conscious. Whatever happens, maintain awareness. Tell me what you experience.
Getting dark. Not like closing eyes. Like the lights are going out inside. One by one.
Keep talking, Ernest.
I can still hear you. Why can I still hear you? My heart stopped. I felt it stop. Why can I still hear you?
Andrew's hand shook as he checked the monitors. The EEG was still showing activity, weak but present. The heart monitor showed a flat line. No respiration. By every medical definition, Ernest Voldemort was dead. But he was still talking.
Ernest, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Why am I still here?
Ashford backed away from the chair.
This isn't possible. He's dead. Brain activity should cease within seconds of cardiac arrest.
But it hasn't,
Andrew said.
The hypnotic state is maintained in consciousness. Ernest, what do you see?
Nothing. Everything. Both. Andrew, something's wrong.
Tell me.
I'm not alone.
The temperature in the room dropped. Andrew could see his breath.
What do you mean you're not alone?
There's something here. Something waiting. It's been waiting. Oh, God. It's been waiting for everyone. We all have to pass through it.
Describe it, Ernest.
I can't. Language doesn't. There aren't words. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's a process. It's a transition. But I'm stuck, Andrew. I'm stuck in the transition. I can't move forward. I can't move back.
Ashford grabbed Andrew's arm.
In this, bring him out.
Ernest, I'm going to end the hypnotic state. On the count of three, you'll...
No!
The word came from Voldemort's corpse in a voice that wasn't entirely his anymore.
Don't. Please. If you break the trance, I'll have to finish the transition. I'll have to go through. Please. I'm not ready.
Andrew froze.
Ernest, you're dead. You have to let go.
I know I'm dead. I can see my body from outside. I can see the damage. I can see everything that's wrong with it. But I'm still here. I'm still conscious. I'm still me. If you end the trance, I won't be me anymore. I'll be whatever comes after. Please, just a little longer. Just let me exist a little longer.
7 minutes passed, then 10, 15. Ernest Voldemar remained dead by every medical standard. Zero heartbeat, zero respiration, zero blood pressure. But the EEG continued showing theta waves, and he continued speaking.
Andrew, I need you to document this. Are you recording?
Yes, Ernest. Everything.
Good. Time is strange here. I think I've been here for hours, but you're saying it's been minutes. It doesn't flow the same way. It's more like being in multiple moments simultaneously. I can see the moment I died. I can see this moment. I can see moments that haven't happened yet.
Ashford retreated to the corner of the room, monitoring equipment forgotten.
This violates everything we know about neurology. Brain death is brain death. Consciousness requires metabolic activity.
Unless consciousness isn't generated by the brain,
Andrew said.
Unless the brain is a receiver, not a transmitter.
That's pseudoscience.
Then explain what we're seeing.
Voldemort spoke again.
The thing that's waiting. I can see it more clearly now. It's not malevolent. It's not anything. It's the end of individuation. It's where separate consciousness returns to the source, maybe, to the field. I don't know the right terminology, but everyone goes through it. Every death, every person, every moment someone stops being a discrete self. This is where they go.
Are there others here, Ernest?
Yes. Thousands. Millions. All in transition. But they're moving through. They're not stuck like me. I can see them passing. It's beautiful and terrible. They dissolve. They become something else. They stop being who they were.
Andrew leaned closer to the corpse.
Ernest, I need to ask you something. Do you want me to maintain the trance? Do you want to stay in this state?
The silence stretched for 30 seconds.
I don't know. This is existence, but it's torture. I am aware, but I can't act. I can't move. I can't change anything. I'm just observing, trapped in observation. But the alternative is dissolution, becoming nothing, losing everything that I am.
Maybe that's not what happens,
Andrew said.
Maybe dissolution is transformation.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just ending. Maybe this transition thing is just a final hallucination before true death. Maybe I'm just brain chemicals misfiring in weird patterns. And you're keeping those patterns active with hypnosis. Maybe none of this is real.
Does it feel real?
Yes. God help me, yes.
20 minutes became 30. 30 became an hour. The corpse in the recliner showed signs of decomposition, the skin graying, the jaw slackening, but it continued speaking. Ashford checked his watch repeatedly.
We need to end this. This is cruel. You're keeping him trapped in a dead body.
He asked me not to.
He's not in a state to make decisions. He's dead. Whatever's talking, it's not Ernest Voldemort anymore.
Andrew didn't answer. He was watching the EEG readout, watching the theta waves persist against all reason.
Andrew.
Voldemort's voice had changed again, becoming almost hollow.
Something's happening. The thing that's waiting. It's getting closer. I don't think I can stay here much longer. The trance is weakening. I can feel myself being pulled.
Do you want me to strengthen it? I can reinforce the suggestions.
No. Let it weaken. I think I understand now. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. This is in between. This is in the space between breaths. You were never meant to document what comes after death. You were meant to document this. The moment of transition. The space where we stop being ourselves and become something else.
What are you becoming, Ernest?
I don't know yet, but I can feel it pulling me. It's not painful. It's just inevitable. Like gravity. Like falling asleep. Andrew, thank you. Thank you for letting me stay here long enough to understand.
Ernest, wait.
In the trance. It's time. I need to finish this.
Andrew's voice shook.
On the count of three, the hypnotic state will end. You'll be free to complete your transition. One, two, three.
Nothing happened. Voldemort's corpse remained still. The EEG continued showing activity. His mouth hung open, jaw slack, but no words emerged.
Ernest?
Andrew touched his hand. The flesh was cold, beginning to stiffen.
Ernest, respond if you can hear me.
Silence. Ashford moved forward, checking for vital signs.
Still dead. Still no heartbeat. No respiration. But the EEG. Andrew, the EEG is getting stronger.
The theta waves on the monitor were intensifying, spiking higher than they had been all night. Andrew checked the equipment, looking for malfunctions, but the readings were clean.
Ernest, if you can hear me, you need to let go. The hypnotic state has ended. You're free to—
I can't!
The voice that came from the corpse wasn't Voldemort's anymore. It was deeper, layered, as if multiple voices spoke in unison. The corpse's eyes snapped open, completely white. The pupils rolled back. Ashford stumbled backward.
Jesus Christ!
I can't go through! You kept me here too long! I've been suspended too long! The transition is closed!
Ernest, listen to me.
I'm not Ernest anymore. Ernest ended when his heart stopped. What's left is just awareness. Just consciousness without form. And you've bound it here. You've trapped it in dead meat.
The corpse began to convulse. Arms and legs jerked in rhythms that had nothing to do with living muscle movement. The mouth gaped wider, impossibly wide, the jaw stretching beyond anatomical limits.
Andrew, you need to free me. You need to release me.
I did. I
I ended the trance. You should be able to—
The window closed. The moment passed. I was supposed to go through in the first seconds after death, but you held me, and now the way is shut. I'm locked in this corpse. I'm locked in decay.
Andrew's mind raced through everything he knew about hypnosis, about trance states, about consciousness.
If the transition closed, we open it again. We recreate the conditions. Ashford, I need you to—
It's too late!
The corpse's head twisted at an angle that should have broken vertebrae. The eyes still white, fixed on Andrew.
I can feel it starting. The body is decomposing. I'm decomposing with it. I'm conscious of my own decay. I can feel the bacteria multiplying. I can feel the cells breaking down. I can feel the flesh softening. Oh, God, Andrew, please make it stop. Please end this, please.
The voice rose to a shriek that couldn't have come from dead lungs. The sound filled the apartment, rattling windows, setting equipment to buzzing. Andrew clapped his hands over his ears, but the sound penetrated through, drilling into his skull.
Ernest, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Not Ernest. Never Ernest again. Just awareness. Just trapped awareness experiencing death from the inside. You did this. You wanted to document the moment of death. Well, here it is. Here's your data. I'm dying and I'm conscious of every second, every cell, every moment of dissolution.
Ashford grabbed his medical kit.
I'm calling emergency services. This needs to end.
No hospitals. No ambulances. They can't help. No one can help. I'm already dead. I'm just aware of being dead.
The shrieking subsided into a low moan that seemed to come from the walls themselves. The corpse slumped back into the chair, but the wide eyes remained fixed on Andrew.
You asked me what I see, Andrew. You want to know what death looks like from the inside? It's nothing. Perfect, absolute nothing. I'm conscious of void. I'm aware of non-existence. That's what you've done. You've created a consciousness that experiences its own non-being.
Andrew sank to his knees beside the chair.
Tell me how to fix this. Tell me how to free you.
There is no fixing it. The trance bound me here beyond the point of transition. Now, I exist in a state that shouldn't exist. I'm dead and aware. I'm rotting and conscious of it. And I'll stay this way until the brain finally completely decays. Weeks. It could take weeks. Conscious of every moment of decomposition.
Ashford was backing toward the door.
I'm leaving. This is beyond medical ethics. This is beyond—
Please.
The word came out as a whisper. Almost human again.
Please don't leave me alone with this.
He stopped at the doorway with his hand on the frame. Andrew's voice was steady despite the horror.
What do you need, Ernest?
I need you to document this. Document every moment. Let the world know what happens when consciousness is held past death. Let them know there's a window. A brief window when the transition must happen. Miss that window, you end up as I am, conscious of rot.
I'm recording everything.
Good. That's good. At least something comes from this. At least science advances. Even if it advances over my prolonged dissolution.
Andrew stayed. Over the next 6 hours, he documented everything. The corpse continued speaking, describing the experience of death from inside, the gradual shutdown of systems, the spreading numbness that wasn't quite numbness because it required sensation to recognize absence of sensation, the awareness of cellular breakdown at a level that shouldn't be perceptible to consciousness. Ashford left after the first hour, unable to maintain professional detachment. Andrew didn't blame him. He barely maintained his own. The voice from the corpse grew weaker as the hours passed, but never stopped completely. It described things that shouldn't be describable. The feeling of brain cells dying one by one. The experience of blood coagulating in dead veins. The sensation of bacteria colonizing dead tissue.
I can feel them multiplying,
it said around hour 4.
The bacteria, they're everywhere, breaking down proteins, releasing gases. I'm bloating from the inside. I'm rotten, and I'm aware of every moment of it.
Andrew forced himself to keep recording.
Can you still see the transition? The thing that was waiting?
No, that closed. I'm alone now. Just me and the void. There's nothing else here. Nothing above. Nothing below. Nothing beyond. Just dead flesh and trapped awareness.
I'm so sorry.
Are you? You got what you wanted. You got your documentation. You got your data. You proved consciousness can persist past death. You just didn't consider what that persistence would cost.
The accusation hit him harder than any scream. Andrew set down his tablet.
You're right. I was so focused on the question that I never considered the implications of the answer. I never thought about what it would mean to trap consciousness in death.
Now you know. Now the world will know. When you publish this, when you present your findings, they'll know there's a window. A moment when death must be completed. Hold someone past that moment, and you create this.
The corpse's hand twitched slightly. The movement was wrong, controlled by muscles that should no longer function.
Andrew, I need you to do something for me.
Anything.
Destroy the body. Burn it. Destroy the brain. In this, the only way it can be ended now. Complete the dissolution physically, since it can't be completed metaphysically.
Andrew's hand shook.
I can't. That's desecration of remains. That's...
It's mercy!
The voice rose again, desperate.
The brain is still intact enough to maintain minimal consciousness. But if you destroy it completely, even this terrible awareness will end. Please. I've been dead for 6 hours. I've been conscious of being dead for 6 hours. Don't make me experience days or weeks of this. End it. End me.
Andrew looked at the monitors. The EEG still showed activity, weak but persistent. The brain was dead by all clinical standards, but something remained. Some spark of awareness trapped in failing tissue. He reached for his phone.
Who are you calling?
Someone who can help us. Someone who understands consciousness research and neural activity. Someone who might know how to release you.
There's no release. Only destruction. Only complete dissolution of the physical substrate maintaining awareness. Call whoever you want. But that's the only answer.
Dr. Jennifer Park arrived an hour later. She was a neuroscientist colleague of Andrew's, one of the few people who took consciousness research seriously. She stood in the doorway of Valdemar's apartment, staring at the corpse in the recliner.
You actually did it.
I did it,
Andrew said.
Now he's trapped.
Park approached the body cautiously, studying the monitors.
Persistent theta waves, minimal delta activity. This is consistent with conscious awareness. But the body's been dead for 7 hours. This shouldn't be possible.
And yet...
The corpse's voice made Park jump.
Here we are. Consciousness without life. Awareness without being. The thing science said was impossible.
Park steadied herself.
Ernest Valdemar?
What's left of him? Mostly I'm just the awareness that used to be Ernest Valdemar. The personality is fragmenting. The memories are degrading. Soon there'll be nothing left but raw consciousness, experiencing decay.
Park looked at Andrew.
How do we end this?
Destruction of the brain. Complete physical dissolution. It's the only way to release the consciousness.
That's homicide.
He's already dead. This would just be completing the process.
It's still illegal. It's still...
Please!
The corpse sat up. The movement was jerky and uncoordinated, but deliberate. Dead muscles moved through some force beyond normal physiology.
I'm begging you. I've experienced 8 hours of post-death consciousness. 8 hours of being aware that I don't exist. End it. Use drugs. Use physical force. Use whatever you need, but end this.
Park pulled out a syringe.
I brought something, just in case. Potassium chloride. High dose. It'll stop all electrical activity in the brain. It'll end neural firing completely.
She looked at Andrew.
This is your decision. You started this. You have to choose how it ends.
Andrew looked at the corpse that had been Ernest Valdemar. The gray skin, the sunken eyes, the open mouth that shouldn't be capable of speech, the EEG monitoring the impossible persistence of awareness in dead tissue.
Do it.
Park administered the injection directly into the jugular vein. The effect was immediate. The EEG spiked, neural activity surging, then plummeted. The line went flat. True, complete, flat. The corpse spoke one final time, the voice fading to barely audible.
Thank you. Finally, I can feel it ending. The awareness is.
Silence. Andrew watched the monitors. No activity. No theta waves. No delta patterns. Nothing. Complete cessation. Ernest Valdemar was finally, completely dead. Andrew never published his findings. The recordings existed. 8 hours of a dead man describing the experience of death from inside. The EEG data existed. The medical documentation existed. Everything needed to revolutionize understanding of consciousness and death existed in his files. But he encrypted them. He locked them away. He told no one except Park and Ashford, both of whom agreed to remain silent. Some knowledge was too dangerous. Some questions shouldn't be answered. The window between death and dissolution was meant to be passed through quickly, not examined. To trap consciousness in that moment was to create something worse than death. Awareness of non-being. Consciousness experiencing its own cessation. 3 months later, he closed his research lab. He took a position teaching undergraduate psychology, focusing on developmental cognition, steering clear of anything related to consciousness studies. But late at night, he still heard Valdemar's voice. Not the shrieking, not the accusations, just the last words, the grateful ones.
Finally, I can feel it ending.
He had given him that, at least. He had forced him from the terrible limbo between being and non-being. But he had also created that limbo in the first place. The question that had driven 7 years of research, what happens to consciousness at death, now had an answer. But it was an answer that should never be acted upon again. The window existed, brief and absolute. Miss it, and consciousness became trapped in dissolution. Hold awareness past that moment, and you created not transcendence, but torture. Andrew destroyed his equipment. He deleted his research notes. He did everything possible to ensure no one would follow his path. But late at night, looking at his encrypted files, he wondered, had Valdemar seen something beyond the transition? In those first moments before the window closed, had he glimpsed what came after? He would never know. And perhaps that was for the best. Some doors, once opened, should be closed and locked forever. The Valdemar case was one of them. And that was the Valdemar case by yours truly, inspired by the Tomahawk Man himself. A good reminder that dead authors are usually pretty cool about letting you rework their stuff. A little about the authors. Edgar Allan Poe, 1809 to 1849, was an American author, poet, editor, and literary critic who's considered a pioneer of detective fiction and master of macabre literature. Me? I'm none of those things exactly, but I do have my own podcast. How do you like them apples, Edgar?
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. And hey, if you're worried at all about me turning into some reserved, pretentious literary type now, you can safely put those fears to bed. It took me like a month to write that thing. Authors, I don't know how you do it, but please keep them coming. Oh yeah, I told one of my patrons, Mr. Jeremy Hartman, I'd say hi to him. So, hey Jeremy. Also, a big hello to some of my newest patrons. Jasmine Rapier, Brandon Rapier, Jaquette Lyles, Mim624, Shana Marie, Franklin, Brianna F., Lessel Baxter, Oh Witchy Nurse, hey Shannon, and last but not least, Lisa Argyrakis, or Argyrakis, depending on which AI you use. I'm sorry, I'm not Greek, and that name really threw me off, but I hope at least one of those versions was right. Anyway, thank you, patrons. I appreciate y'all being there for me. Means a lot. And stay tuned for the next Jeff, Drew, and Paul show, coming soon. Oh, and of course, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.